Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good friends Pierce and Jane Howard. Or I should say Jane and Pierce Howard. That's really the more appropriate way to say it. Our good friends, longtime members of our Brain Trust. Pierce is the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain, and the two of them are the authors of one of the books I think is one of the most important books any small business owner should have, The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work, and they're here now. Pierce and Jane, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have both of you back. You know, one of the things that my audience is probably tired of hearing me say this, but I did say this back in January, 1st of January. I said... I just kind of looked at 2008, what I thought was coming up, and I had no idea how accurate this was going to be, but I just believed that it was important to say. And I said, I believe in 2008, economically and politically, we are going to live the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. And Pierce, that has come to pass, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Of course, living in interesting times. Is often a matter of how open you are to figuring out what in the heck is going on out there.
Right. It also has a lot to do with what you think about what's interesting or not, and what you think is Armageddon or the apocalypse, Jane. Because some people, isn't it interesting, Jane, to see some people to watch two people respond to a train wreck, and one of them says, okay, I guess we need to start right here picking up the pieces, and the other person is wringing their hands and blabbering in hysteria. It's interesting to watch people do that, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's what's going on in business right now.
Yeah, in fact, the famous last lecture of Randy Pausch, one of his comments is, when walls are thrown up in your path, it's not meant to deter you. It's meant to determine how bad you wanted what you were after.
Yeah. Well, I love that. That reminds me of Hannibal's comment. You know, Hannibal, the great Carthaginian general, he was going to conquer Rome by surprising them by going across the Alps. He took about 30 elephants with him, and his generals had gone out and scouted the passes in the Alps, and they came back and said, they're all clogged up. We can't get through. What are we going to do? He said, well, we either have to find a way or make a way.
Yeah.
Now, I would say his personality was pretty strong. Which one of the five factors was he strongest on, Jane?
Well, they work together, Jim. I don't know that we can just talk about one, but clearly...
Right.
The first trait that we typically talk about is need for stability, and people who are cool and calm and collected and move into problem-solving mode quickly are typically the ones that say, I'm there, I can handle it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and do we find that, Pierce, do we find that kind of attitude, people who are strong in the need for stability, do we find that kind of person in young people? Is it possible to find it in young people, or is it more likely to be found in people who have already been run over by that train and lived to tell about it?
Jim, all of these traits are present from a very early age. In fact, you can detect need for stability as early as 1 month old.
Wow.
When a baby, for example, is extremely regular in urination, defecation, time to go to sleep, demand feeding, and all those things, the more predictable they are, the lower they're going to be in need for stability as an adult. They're going to tend to be relatively calm, rational, and more predictable. And the more irregular they are with those basic bodily functions.
You know, when my children were babies, that was a piece of information I just didn't have when I was raising them and changing their diapers. Where were you then, Pierce? Where were you at that time? I could have known so much about my children. I know that. Jane, you put up with this all the time, don't you?
I live it. Absolutely, and love it. It would be hard to find somebody as broadly read and knowledgeable as Pierce.
Well, that's one of the ways I would describe him. That's one of the things I would use to describe him. But go ahead. But I tell you what, Pierce, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back. Folks, it's always fun when Pierce and Jane join us, and we're going to talk more about this. As we all deal with whatever issues we have in front of us, whether they're challenging, disastrous, or just, unsettling, whatever we're facing, all of us, the people around us who help us get through this thing are very important. And what kind of folks do you have? What are their personalities? We're going to talk to Pierce and Jane about that. They're going to talk to us about that. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us. Little Stones bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the brand spanking new website. Same address as we've always had for 11 years, but the website is new. The way it looks is new. So hope you'll check that out and give it a try and let us know what you think. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Pierce and Jane Howard are our guests. Pierce Howard is the author of The Owner's Manual for the Brain, and Pierce and Jane are the authors of The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. And we're talking about personality at work, and Jane, I was just saying as we went to the break that as we deal with these interesting times that we have, whatever they may be, if they're challenging, the apocalypse, or a tragedy, a meltdown, or just sort of unsettling, whatever is happening in your company, the people who are going to help us get through this are the people around us. And isn't this a time, Jane, when we're going to find out who the tough guys are?
Yeah. You got the old expression, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, which is obviously an oversimplification. It should be, when the going gets tough, each person tends to revert to his comfort zone. And that's what can really get you into trouble, is reverting to your comfort zone. When the going gets tough, that's when we need to stretch a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
An example is... people who tend to be really very spontaneous and not particularly disciplined. They're really good at sales. They're good at developing new relationships. They're good at spending money. They're good at at fighting fires. They just tend, in general, to be spontaneous and multitasking. When the going gets tough, these people need to really watch out, because they're liable to spend up all their resources. They need to commit to a budget, and they need to kind of delegate, whether it's to a bookkeeper or an assistant or somebody.
But aren't they more likely to also be the kind that you can count on when people have to dig down deep and pull hard? Aren't those the same people?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's like the good news, bad news. But they need to build on the good news part, developing their relationships and all that, but they need to beware of that tendency to overspend and not be disciplined, and find a partner who can help them during tough times to follow a budget and adhere to it.
Now, so Jane, what do we need to do? How beneficial is it for us to kind of know now, in the times that we're in, to kind of have a pretty good idea about who we can count on, who we can't count on?
Well, that's the bottom line, is you need to know who your people are anyway, whether times are lean or times are good. Being able to know what to expect from an individual, being able to know who you can count on, being able to know who's going to go with the flow versus the person that have to do it the same way they've always done it, and in these tough times, that may not get you any business.
Mm-hmm.
So
does that mean? Does that mean you need to move people around? Does it mean you need to have separate conversations? Should you go to one person that you know is tough and say, I'm going to depend on you a lot more than ever before in the next 6 to 12 months?
Absolutely.
Should you do that?
Absolutely.
And
promise them something at the outcome.
Yeah.
If we make it through these times, here's what I'm going to do for you.
But there are people, Pierce, who aren't tough, maybe, but they're in jobs that don't require that. I mean, that doesn't mean that we let those people go in during these times, right? I mean, because when things settle down again, those people are the ones who keep plodding along and doing the work day after day.
Exactly. One kind of personality that could be liability in tough times are people that really get bummed out under stressful situations,
and yeah,
they tend to worry and fret and don't sleep and all that. And one of the things that we can, whether we're one of those people or whether we have one working with us, one of the things that we can do for ourselves with those other people that are known as reactors to stress is really get them and help them stick with a very strict aerobic exercise routine where they are doing fast walking or running or bicycling or stair-stepping or whatever is their torture of choice, but to really help them, because otherwise they're going to get sick. They're going to get physically sick if they don't deal with that stress. And then
so do you recommend that companies maybe institute some kind of an exercise period, maybe come up with some way for people to do some breathing or some stretching or some walking? Everybody, let's all take a walk or something. Do you recommend something like that?
Absolutely. And the general guideline is you need to get those large muscles moving nonstop for about 20 to 30 minutes 5 times a week. And if you could install it into the some aspect of the workday, the better.
Yeah.
In fact, for the individuals who are susceptible to stress, the best time for them to exercise is after the most stressful time of day. So if their primary stress is at work, then it needs to be at the end of the afternoon or at the end of the workday. But if their primary stress is at home, then it needs to be before they get to work.
One of the things that I think business owners ought to do is maybe not tell employees every single thing going on, but let them know that what the realities are of the company and what you're trying to do with that information. Jane, is that good for, do you think that's a good idea?
I agree, Jim. I think the more people don't know, the more they will invent and the more the grapevine grows. So it's very helpful to give them as much straightforward information as possible.
But are there people working for us who maybe can't handle that kind of information?
It depends on how you count it.
Yeah, and I think this is another way of finding out who the keepers are, I think. Stand by. We're going to be right back with Pierce and Jane Howard and talk some more about how personality plays a big role in your success. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friends Pierce and Jane Howard. And Jane, give us your website and tell folks how we can contact you.
Jim, our website is www.syntax.com. Syntax is spelled C-E-N-T-A-C-S.
.com.
Center for Applied Cognitive Studies.
And this is a place where they can go and find personality profile applications where you guys help people understand how their people are wired and how to help them make better hiring decisions, maybe better firing decisions, that kind of thing. Folks, you got to find this book, though, The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. Can they find that on your website, Jane?
They can.
This is not a textbook, folks. This is an application book written in plain English that you can use and put to work right now. And you should don't put it on your bookshelf, but leave it on your desk. You'll be amazed. I predict that if you buy this book, The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work, you'll become addicted to it. And so I was very excited when I saw this book years ago. Jane, let's talk about when we find somebody that's not going to be part of the solution for the future. It, as we think about laying people off, as we think, as the possibility of cutting our staff may come up for some companies. A lot of times, seniority is the big decision, isn't it? Or somebody who knows where the bodies are buried. We don't want to let those guys go. But if that person has got the kind of personality that's caustic for the times that the company's facing, what do you think? Is that the person we should let go, even though they hold the keys to some of the kingdom?
You have to look realistically at it. If this is someone who is standing around the water cooler, who is talking about how bleak things look, how bad things are, they're going to be a hindrance to the company and to your trying to implement a more positive outlook and try new and different things to move the company forward. So as painful as it might be, yeah, that may be the person that you need to let go. It might be that some of your newer hires are people that have more innovative ideas, who have a solution. They have some things they want to try that they think can get you over the hump. So it can be painful, but you have to look. If you've got to make a cut, who are the people who are dragging down the rest of the team?
Mm-hmm. I've seen this where the person was wimpy, they were whiners, had bad attitudes. Basically, people I can't stand to be around, and yet they'd risen to a point in the company where they were pretty important to the company. The work that they did, but don't we have to do the old balance sheet thing on them and see if what their negatives are worse than their positives?
Yeah,
but also you need to think about these traits, Jim, would not have survived human evolution if they didn't have value. Where in an organization is there a place for whiners and critics? For example, you don't want a bright-eyed optimist checking out expense accounts and
right.
Double-checking numbers and
right.
that sort of thing. You want people that are checking your numbers
yeah.
who are whiners and critics. And you may want to isolate them and find them.
You might not want to invite them to your party, but you want them working for you, huh?
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. You have to think that way, that every trait has adaptive value. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, every individual nature has its own beauty. And we translate that to say...
So there's hope for me then, huh? There's hope for me, huh, Pierce? I said there's hope for me then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's good news. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that the trick sometimes is not whether to keep somebody, but how can we put them in a place to use who they are? How do we build on their strengths rather than always lament their weaknesses?
Mm-hmm.
The Gallup organization did a huge study some years ago which they looked at 30,000 managers, and the outcome of that study was effective managers are the people who build on strengths and not worry about weaknesses
yeah.
much.
So Jane, we tell these people, go do your job, just don't talk to me. Is that what you're saying?
Well, or they may be the ones that you need to work at home.
Yeah.
They may
yeah.
Be
no, I can see that. I can see that. Hey guys, I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here, Pierce and Jane Howard. Thanks so much for all that you do for us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you.
Syntax, Centacs, right? .com.
That's it.
Syntax.com. Check it out, folks. It's an important website. You got to find this book, The Owner's Manual for Personality at Work. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.